Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Get ready for the greats check, too, okay? We'll get the bunch on third and short.
Patriots Playbook.
Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, here we are. We've got the playoffs straight ahead. Did the Patriots disappoint you with who they've come up with to play this week? I don't know. How do you feel about the Houston Texans? Welcome inside the playbook right here for a Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. It is our postseason edition of Patriots Playbook, and Eric Scalavino happens to be here on a Tuesday.
I'm playing hurt today, John.
Yeah, I know. I was just about to say, in talking before we got on the air, you're clearly playing hurt today. So I give you a lot of credit for being here.
Thank you. I'll try not to infect you with my
You can infect me with your
illness.
Personality, but not your illness.
Thanks,
yeah,
Kevin.
That would help. So are you on the rebound, do you think, or is this coming down with?
Well, I thought I was getting better over the weekend, and then yesterday I started... took a turn for the worse. My nose was like a faucet.
Ugh.
I started getting chills and fever.
You don't want that. You don't want that. Well, here's the thing. You know, I know you're trying to get yourself healthy because you got a hell of an excursion coming up in another month or so, which is I mean, you and I were talking about Eric's travel agency here just a little while ago, you know, getting ready to do some off-season traveling. So I know you want to get good and ready for this thing. But let's get to the business at hand today. I don't know how much has been talked about what Dan Shaughnessy wrote in the Boston Globe.
Too much.
I'm sure it probably has been quite a bit. For those, if you, by some chance you are uninitiated with what he said, for those that are outside the area or overseas or you don't get a chance to, you don't go online to see Boston.com or anything like that, Boston Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy, who I know many of you are familiar with, he's sort of a curmudgeon at large, if you will. He always likes to jab people, give them a needle, give them a little elbow in the side of the ribs, you know, just to stir the drink. I was going to say something else, but I really shouldn't. He's a blank stirrer, is what he is. That's what he does, and he does it very well, because he came out with a column that basically said this was nothing but a layup. This is going to be, you know, another cupcake, and I think the term he used was tomato can. And so, Houston running back Arian Foster used Shaughnessy's column as his Twitter icon,
which I think is avatar, absolutely ridiculous.
Well, now ridiculous on whose part?
Both of them.
Well, Shaughnessy got exactly what he wanted.
So ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted
publicity
attention.
For himself.
Publicity for himself, publicity for the paper.
Sure.
And publicity just because he'll tweak it because he knows he can.
Right. I mean, but that's low-hanging fruit to do that.
Well.
That's taking the easy way out.
Probably.
By doing something like that.
Probably.
And he got the attention that he was craving for himself and for his paper.
He got it.
Whatever.
He got it.
But
he also, you know, got a lot of attention in Houston.
For Arian Foster and anybody in Houston to look at that and draw any inspiration from that is asinine, John.
Well, then what does that say? Because he clearly is motivated.
It says that the Texans have already lost the game to me.
If they're
going to draw motivation from some no-name columnist thousands of miles away, they've already lost. Huh. They should be drawing inspiration, A, from the fact that they get paid to play this game way more than they should.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they got themselves embarrassed on national television 5 weeks ago in this same stadium to the same team.
Right.
If those two factors aren't motivation enough and they have to rely on some columnist who's just expressing an opinion, then it's a done deal.
Well,
they've lost.
I have to admit, I was a little bit taken aback by seeing the Twitter avatar, you know, as Shaughnessy's comment, because actually I follow Arian Foster, and so I saw it. I said, what the hell is that? It looked like some writing. I actually clicked on it, and I read it, and I'm like, that looks like, I don't know. I mean, somebody wrote something, and so then I'm obviously doing my searching and realizing, you know, it didn't take me very long to find out that that was something that Shaughnessy had written, and I'm like, God, that's so typical. It's almost like you can set your clocks by him. You know, it's been, you know, a couple of years since he's really had something scathing to say about, you know, another team coming in. And Shaughnessy likes to make himself the story, and here we are talking about it.
Now, if that was a Tom Brady quote,
it would be different.
I would be completely different. I'd be totally on Arian Foster's side there. I would say, yeah, okay, I can see that. You know, a fellow player taking those kind of shots at you. Yeah, I can see you getting motivated about that. A guy who you're going to be doing battle with is calling you out. I can see that.
Yeah, but
this
it was
a columnist.
Yeah, columnist, guy who's never put on a jockstrap in his life.
No,
close to it anyway.
And you're going to try to draw motivation from that? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's unprofessional. He should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah. Well, I think we both know that. But at the same time, it is out there. And so because it is out there now, I'm sure that Houston Texans fans, and I hope that we have some listening. And by the way, just as an aside here, forgive me, Patriots fans, for just a couple of moments here, but we've always welcomed in opposing point of views to this program. The show's title, Patriots Playbook, and the fact that it is broadcast on the Patriots website means nothing. We talk about all things football and always have on this show. More so than you know, the predecessor here, PFW. We just kind of take a look, you know, at a bigger picture. So because of that, if you are a Texans fan, I'd really like to know how you feel about that. And should Arian Foster or anybody else in the Houston Texans organization be concerned with what a columnist in Boston writes? Now, I would also tell you that there's a part of me that says, hey, whatever gets you going in the morning is fine. Nothing really bothers me one way or the other. I certainly would agree with you, Eric, that if this were a player or a coach, that I could certainly understand why Arian Foster would be, you know, take umbrage with the remark, and I could see why he would, you know, be sufficiently motivated. And you know what? More power to him. Because that's, you know, we've seen, how many instances have we seen on motivational tactics on, you know, locker room chalkboard material being used to motivate teams? Hell, the Patriots arguably used it to 3 Super Bowl titles in the 2000s because they had this boulder on the shoulder mentality that, oh, it's us against the world. And so here, in a sort of a ironic twist, now we have the Patriots as being the big guys and the bad guys and the bullies, if you're to believe Dan Shaughnessy, which is a role that the Patriots have never, ever in their history, or at least in their recent history, decided they were going to be a part of. This is against the Patriot way, so to speak. It's always been, you know, respect for opponent. It's always been, hey, the next team is, you know, the next in our schedule, and we're taking them seriously. And that's really been about it. So this whole thing flies in the face of what the Patriots organization and the football team has been about for the last, what, dozen or 13 years or so. Which, to me, is why it is ridiculous on the surface. But at the same time, for someone uninitiated in Houston or a fan of the Texans to see this, I could get a little humor out of it. And, hey, if it floats your boat and it makes you, you know, play that much harder, fine. Houston's problems coming in on Sunday going to be a lot deeper than just whether or not Arian Foster is pissed off at a Boston columnist. But I'd like to know, if you are a Texans fan, what you think. And number two, should Arian Foster be ticked off? Do you need that extra little motivation because of the way, you know, the team performed here 5 weeks ago? Just out of curiosity. Webradio@patriots.com is how you'll reach us via email. Webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. You can pick up the phone, give us a call. You can also find me on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name, and on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. Now, that's not the primary question I had today, largely because I don't know. I think a couple of the things that Dan wrote about in the column are worth examining. He makes it sound, through the whole tenor of the piece, he makes it sound as if there is no fear in New England. I wouldn't call fear the right word here. I would say that there's, you know, concern. I think there's respect. I think there might be some worry, and I use that term loosely only because of what happened here 3 years ago. Was it 3 years?
Two years ago.
Thank you. 2 years ago. How soon we forget. 2 years ago, when you waylay a team like the New York Jets 45-3 in the regular season, you come back basically a month later and you get beat 28-21 in the playoffs. Different games, different sets of personalities, different, you know, circumstances, a lot of difference. But it's a wonderful thing to hang your head on looking at it from a Patriots perspective. There are still roughly, God, Eric, you're fumbling everything over here. Oh, my God. There's water bottles flying. There's okay. Hang in there, kid. It's almost done for you. You still have to go to practice after this, don't you?
No, practice, locker room? We already went. Yeah,
oh,
locker
yeah.
Room.
Locker room. Locker room. Okay, yeah, we'll get the practice update in a second. Yeah. Here's the thing. What do we have, 23, 24 guys on this roster that were part of it 2 years ago when the Jets came in here and one-upped them again?
I don't know the exact number.
It's pretty close to half.
Is it?
I think it's close. Not quite, but close. At any rate, and I saw the number earlier today, so forgive me. Someone may have that number, and if you do, you know, send it to me in an email or tweet or what have you. But here's the thing. There's still enough memory in that locker room to not let what happened earlier this year affect them this Sunday. That much I am convinced of. These guys learned a very valuable lesson just 2 years ago, and there's still enough experience in that locker room that they're going to say, and you know Bill Belichick's going to use it this week. He's probably going to write up on the board the score of the game, and it's going to be up on the board in the locker room all week long just to remind guys, okay, look, we beat New York 45-3 and then lost when it counted 28-21. So you beat this Houston team 42-14. What does this mean then for Sunday? The Patriots played a great game 5 weeks ago. The Texans played a lousy one. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate into that this next Sunday. This is when, I mean, you know, we're going to throw out all the cliches this week, but this is when it counts. You're one and you're done. You mess up this week, it's over until, you know, next, you know, July, next August when training camp begins. So I don't really believe that that's going to be a deciding factor or even a driving factor in the game this Sunday. So what I'm asking of Patriots fans, most of all here, take this into consideration. Take Dan Shaughnessy's column into consideration. Take what he had to say. And if you haven't read it, you know, Google it and go find it and read it and then come back to me here. But what I'm asking here is, what should the Patriots fear? What should they be afraid of this weekend? Taking in consideration the fact that they handled fairly easily a team that was 11-1 at the time. They handled pretty easily a little more than a month ago that same Texans team here. Is it going to be the same Texans team? Is it going to be the same Texans team that we saw last week struggle to get by Cincinnati in the wild card round of the playoffs? What kind of a Texans team is it? Is it going to be a sufficiently motivated Texans team because of Dan Shaughnessy's column? Because Arian Foster ran for 140 last week and he's got BBs for eyes now because he's mad at the Patriots? What should the Patriots fear? I think there are a lot of concerns that New England needs to have, and most of them are self-based. In other words, they're on themselves, and that's not taking anything away from Houston. Houston had a very good season. They have faltered a little bit. They've fallen back into the pack, so to speak, over the course of the last month or so. That doesn't mean they're not capable of winning the game on Sunday. They are.
Oh, yeah.
They very much are.
Now, I say that I think it's over based on the Arian Foster thing.
Right.
You know, I'm mostly kidding. About that. I'm mostly kidding. I mean, I think there is some truth. I mean, there's something to that, though, that they're like when they came here in December and were talking it up as the biggest game in their franchise history.
Right.
I think they were doing more to convince themselves of that than anything else. Like, I don't think they really believed in themselves. And I think they were trying to. And I think there's a little bit of an element to that in Arian Foster's you know, Twitter avatar thing yesterday.
Right.
But I certainly think, I don't expect the Texans to come in here and play as badly as they did 5 weeks ago. I just think they have too much talent on that team, John, for them to come in here and lay an egg like they did. And history might be on their side too, if they have a chance. Since Belichick and Brady have been together,
mm-hmm.
they've lost 6 playoff games.
Right.
Each loss has come to a team that they have played
in the regular season. Right.
They've beaten and lost to those teams in the regular season.
What's the record against teams they've beaten versus teams they have lost to?
They lost to Denver in the 05 regular season and then lost to them in the playoffs.
Okay.
They
clearly that year Denver was a better team.
Right. Hang on one second. They lost to Indianapolis in the 06 regular season here mm-hmm. in Foxborough and then lost in the AFC title game.
And again, the Colts were a better team.
Right. They beat the Giants in the 07 finale and then lost them in the Super Bowl.
You could make an argument that the Giants were a better team, too. Well, although I think we all realize that that's probably one of the most painful losses in Patriots history.
Yeah. they beat Baltimore in 2009 in an October game.
Right.
And then lost to them, famously.
Right.
Ray Rice up the middle.
Up the middle. First play of the game. And yeah.
So there's a team that they beat and then lost to in the playoffs.
Right.
They obviously beat the Jets handily
and lost to them in the playoffs.
And then they lost to the Giants last regular season and then lost to them in the Super Bowl.
So that's 2 wins and 4 losses.
2 wins and 4 losses. So they're 2-4, basically.
And if they were to beat Houston, they would be 3-4 in the same scenario, right? So I guess then my point here is the track record is not good for the Patriots in repeat games. It's not good. That's the bottom line. It's just not good. So for someone like Shaughnessy to write this, I'm not, you know, doesn't show a whole lot of depth to his thought, does it? When you consider that the Patriots have traditionally, over the last 6-7 years, they've struggled with this scenario. And I don't, and that's why I asked the question, what should the Patriots fear? Because I really believe that the Patriots' fear has to come from within. They should be afraid of themselves more than anything else. The Patriots should be afraid. Let me repeat that. The Patriots should be afraid of themselves based on the track record of not having success in the postseason against teams that they've already played in the regular season. They need to be concerned with themselves. And so for there to be any sort of overconfidence, oh, well, we beat this team 42-14 in the regular season. We'll handle them easily this week. That is truly one of the most ludicrous things you could say because you're just not thinking it out, and you're just reacting as a fan would react. And fan, of course, is short for fanatic. You're not being an educated fanatic if you're saying the Patriots are going to go in there and blow out the Texans this week because the track record of your own team tells you otherwise.
All right, I'm trying to go back now and look at the wins in the playoffs that they've had against teams that they've, you know, rematch games from that regular season.
Okay.
Denver.
Yes.
In last season, they beat in the
regular season.
Beat in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego, 2007
Seven.
Season,
mm-hmm.
beat them in week 2.
And then beat them in the playoffs.
Jacksonville, they did not play in 2007. 2006, they did not play San Diego until the playoffs. I'm trying to go back here, sorry. Jets, 2006. Obviously, they beat them during the regular season, beat them in the playoff. But that's division winners. Division opponents are,
right.
I think, are a different category.
Right, right.
Because you don't really play them very often in the playoffs anyway. But,
right.
Let's see, 2005, Jacksonville, I don't think they played in the regular season. No, they did not. Philly Super Bowl. Now, 2004, Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
they lost to in the regular season, beat in the playoffs.
Right. And then beat them. I think that's a rarity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Losing to a team actually in the regular season and then coming back to beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that I think that's more the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, 04. they beat in the first week and then beat in the playoffs.
Okay.
So it looks like it's about even in terms of the rematch.
There's no, but still, there's no dominant factor in here.
No.
To say that, just to automatically make the conclusion that because you beat a team as badly as you did in the regular season, that you're going to whack them again, it absolutely makes no sense. It just doesn't. And so, again, why I asked the question today of all of our listeners today, what should the Patriots fear most about this Sunday's matchup? Could be a player, could be a scheme, could be a coach, could be, as I say, themselves. Could be any one of these things. All right, looks like we've lit up the phone, so that's a pretty good thing to start the day. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Bill in Connecticut leads us off in the playbook. Bill, how are you?
Hey, John, great show.
Thank you.
Well, first I want to say I appreciate you guys spending as much time on the question that I posed a couple of weeks ago about their record in the playoffs with your PT.
Mm-hmm.
but when it comes to what the Patriots should fear, I don't think we should fear anyone, and I'm going to tell you why. Peyton Manning, should we get there, and I know we will, is horrible in cold weather. And when it comes to the Texans, Bill Belichick said it in his first interview in the first game that they pretty much do what they do, and they tell you to stop them. So I would think that if the game plan was good enough to stop them the first time, I believe it's good enough to stop them in the second time. Now, with regard to the Patriots beating themselves, well, the last 4 or 5 years, we've had a horrible secondary, and now we are much improved in the secondary. So rather than what the Patriots should fear, I think the rest of the league this year should fear the Patriots.
Okay. Your reasoning is relatively sound, and I don't think that that's an attitude that is probably rare anywhere. I think most teams probably feel that way about themselves.
Especially if you have to use some columnist article to get you going. I mean, if you can't use your own defeat as motivation to do better in itself, then you have a problem right there.
Yeah, and my guess is that Arian Foster, and I don't want to speak for him, but my guess is that it's just he probably did that as a reminder, just sort of a little, you know, hey, this is what others think of us. And so it's, you can use that, I think, to remind you that you've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, that you've got a hard job ahead of you, but that it can be done. And I think that's a typical tactic, and I think that's fine. I don't really have any problem with it.
And I also noticed that the Patriots give teams the most respect before they trounce on them. And here's another thing. Up 28, 21 nothing, 28-7, I'm sure the Patriots did a lot of vanilla plays that end up starting to work because they didn't want to show. They knew at some point they probably would be meeting them down the road. So I'm sure we have different personnel now that Gronk is back, different personnel on offense, and we're going to show them a lot of different things that they did not see in the first game. So I absolutely don't fear the Texans at all.
All right. So you don't fear the Texans, though, primarily because of why?
Because of two things. One, the Texans, Gary Kubiak, they do what they do. They use the run to set up play action. You shut that down, that's pretty much what they do. That's all they do. Bill Belichick stated that in their first entry. They say, hey, this is what we do. Try and stop us. Now, they might do a little bit off of that, but basically that's what they do. So that's what we're going to game plan for. Plus, that's number one. Plus, number two is, if you look at this whole season with the Patriots have the best in-game adjustments to teams, period. I haven't seen any team adjust better to what's going on in the game than the Patriots. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. I mean, you know, the special teams gave up a good play with San Francisco, but it looked like we had figured out what they were.
Oh, we just lost them.
We lost the guy.
I didn't do that. For the record, that was not me. That was not me. I'm sorry about that, Bill in Connecticut. He was making a good point. It sounded like he got cut off. What do you think?
I think at times they can make good adjustments.
Yep.
But I recall a certain Super Bowl a few years ago where they did not adjust very well.
No, they didn't.
And it cost them.
And it cost them dearly. So that's why I'm saying, you know, or I was going, we're thinking where Bill was going was that the Patriots do make adjustments. Well, they have, but they haven't done it all the time.
No.
The Patriots displayed, I think, unfortunately, a sad amount of arrogance in that 2007
yeah.
loss to the Giants.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, okay, try to stop us.
Yeah.
And obviously the Giants did. And so I think that's exactly what happened to the Patriots in 07. Is maybe a little bit of what the Texans are going through right now. And I understand the Texans. It's kind of like, look, we're going to worry about ourselves. You got to stop us. Well, I think the Patriots clearly did that. So now it's going to be interesting to see. Here's the intrigue that comes in with Sunday's game. How different is Houston going to be? Are they going to approach it any differently? Are they going to pound you, try to beat you with Foster and then set you up with play action and go deep, you know, to Andre Johnson and try to find their tight ends over the middle? And are they going to do anything different than what they did the first time? And are the Patriots going to be ready for it?
Well, Houston's not a team that changes too much.
I understand why he's
so
saying
I
what
think
he
it
says.
Will catch New England by surprise if they do come out with something different.
Okay.
Because, I mean, even in that first game in December, I remember during the week people were asking Bill, you know, what, you know, do the Texans change things up much? And he said, no, they basically do what they do. And you have to try to stop it. Obviously, it didn't work for them in that game.
No.
But it'll be interesting to see if they do try anything differently this week in an effort to try to change the result.
All right, let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good, Melvin. What's up?
Not much. First of all, Eric, hope you get the feeling better.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. But I guess just what you just said, I'm not fearful of anything, but New England themselves, turnovers could be big in games like this. Turnovers are just, you know, so could swing momentum so easily. So I'm just really not fearful about, I guess, just like you said, kind of worried that maybe, you know, if we're not getting the pressure that Schaub could hit some tight ends over the middle, because there were some wide open shots that he just kind of missed the last game. So but if they don't really change, I like the fact that, you know, they're more, they're more of a run team, so I'm a lot more confident in our run defense than pass defense. But, you know, other than that, I don't think it's nothing that the Texans really could do that could just get us really play into their hands. If you get the game tight, and then knowing all the potential that they have, all the five that they could potentially use, if they use it right, I think that can be a dangerous team. But, you know, just I don't want to go down to the wire with a tight game, and you're really, you know, Aaron Foster starts getting the running, and you're doing play action pass, just doing what they do, run and play action pass, then try to hit one long by deep. So I'm really nervous on, fearful, so to speak, if we can get that pass rush, and if we can run the football. I think that'll be something both ways, offensive line wise, that, you know, that can really help to control the game. So
right.
That'll be the only thing I'm really nervous about. But just themselves, just, you know, not having any big turnovers, because just like you saw that, I mean, if you turn the ball over, San Francisco can beat you. But also, if you turn the ball over, Jacksonville has a chance to beat you. So the amount of teams, you know, basically, if you turn the ball over, you know, you have a good chance to lose to anybody.
That's exactly right, and that's why I said the Patriots have really only themselves to fear.
Right.
Simply because, you know, they fear themselves if they turn the ball over. So if they turn the ball over, then Houston can easily win the game. If they don't turn the ball over, they should win the game. They should. It's home, at home. They certainly know, or at least they think they know, what Houston's going to throw at them. Houston's not going to do anything. I think this is part of the intrigue going into the game. You know, we don't think that Houston's going to throw him any curveballs, but we're going to find out. So that's why I said, you know, the Patriots really, in terms of what do they fear, what should they fear, they need only fear themselves and their own ability to take care of the ball.
Right. Overconfidence is just a killer to yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
As you can see, you went to a 14-2 game. I mean, what was it? Well, we lost to, I think the Cleveland Browns. I think that one year. And I thought that would be the easiest game of the year. You know, so all these times, and they always have one game where they kind of, you know, I think they always get, because they're such a young team, and they get kind of overcocky. And while they're kind of resting and mentally resting, you know, Houston might be putting their foot on the gas and really going after them. So
right.
I know if I was trying to play Baltimore, there's not a doubt in my mind that we could beat Baltimore. You know, it's something about the rematch. I'm like, oh, Bill Belichick's going to adjust. We're going to do all this stuff. And I just think it's going to be a whole different ballgame. And I'm sure Houston fans are thinking the same thing. So, you know, you never know, you never know how the game's going to turn out. But if you hit them in the mouth early, if you let them know that, you know, that this is our conference, you know, we're going to the AFC Championship game, you're not ready to be in the big leagues yet. And I think that mentally, as young as they are versus the Jets and all those other teams that were a team of veterans, they're young, so you can still mentally defeat them and let them know that, you know, well, we did our best, but they're just a better team this year.
Right.
So I think you can really get that going early. It'd be a big key to this game.
I would agree with that one, Melvin. Thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to Sean in Vancouver, Canada. Sean, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, Eric, how you guys doing today?
Good, Sean.
Thank you.
Great. I'm concerned about the changes. Like, what has been mentioned is the Texans do what they do. Well, it didn't work last time. The Patriots had an amazing game plan and execution, just flawlessly, just getting those offensive linemen up on J.J. Watt and the other defensive tackles and ends, and getting Brady a really nice pocket most of the time, using the run game with Ridley and Woodhead going out, and that set up the play action. And then on defense, having a lot of one-on-one coverage with Dennard and Tlaib earlier in the game, and being able to be aggressive and get pressure on Schaub when they're forced to pass. It just worked really well. And in order for the Texans to win, they can't do the same thing. It's the Patriots shown that they can handle that. But what are the Texans going to do that'll change that? That'll alternate the game plan and maybe put points up early for the Texans and then put the Patriots in a hole. That's where I'm really concerned. Like, how do they get Foster the ball in space? Maybe some more screens, or maybe some other plays, end arounds, or something that'll take away what the Patriots are going to be doing defensively. Because I still think they're going to try and put eight in the box and stuff Foster early.
Well, I think that they'll probably, you know, do what they can. That is, you know, if Houston gets off to a good start on the ground and Foster can, you know, find some way to work between the tackles and get some gains, I think we'll see some of those delay handoffs that, you know, spread out over the tackles and see if he can find the creases and some of the seams up the middle on the defense. If Houston can get that early, then obviously that makes their play action roll. That's what their entire offense is predicated on. So I can't imagine them not trying that. And so I think Houston's got to be aiming toward, all right, how best can we take advantage of that Patriot front seven? And to that end, are the Patriots better served now by putting that extra guy in the box, limiting his chances, limiting his opportunities? I think you probably see some of that. I don't think you're going to see them rely on that entirely, because I know that they certainly have to fear Andre Johnson at least a little bit. He had a pretty good game here, you know, statistically speaking anyway, even though the game was largely out of hand. But he's the one guy on this team that I think that could actually, you know, break a game open for them. Both,
for sure,
not only with his speed, but his ability to stretch the defense out, his ability to catch, you know, in traffic. I mean, the guy's the total package. So, you know, they have tremendous weapons. I think we're underscoring the fact, or we're underselling the fact, and then I'm going to underscore it. We're underselling the fact that they have great offensive weapons. They have a quarterback who manages the game well. He's not an outstanding, I wouldn't call him an elite guy. I wouldn't even call him, I don't think, a top 10 guy in the NFL. You know, I know how we love to list things around here. But what he does is he plays to their personnel almost perfectly. And so when Houston struggles, like they have over the last month largely, it's because they don't have that outstanding superstar of a player that has the ability to put the team up on his shoulders a bit and say, all right, boys, come on with me. I'm going to pitch us to a win. Kind of like the Patriots have had Brady pick them up and lead them when, you know, things are bad. Schaub is not that kind of a personality. He's just not.
the Texans aren't going to come back from a 3-touchdown deficit. I mean, you saw them
I don't think they are either. No, I don't think they are either. Which is why, and it's already been suggested here,
can't come back from a 3-touchdown deficit.
Well, but I think with the Patriots, I think you've seen that they can. You know, they certainly can make things interesting when they get down early. Now, that's not the chosen route that they want to go. But I will tell you, though, that because of the ability to have big plays, that it's more likely the Patriots come from behind than the Texans, which is why, and it was mentioned here already, it's important to, you know, hit them in the mouth early and get Houston down early. Then you get them doubting themselves, and then you get the Patriots playing with more confidence, and then you can see this game over. If this is a one-possession game throughout the first two or three quarters into the fourth quarter, Houston has a chance to win it. And if I'm Houston, that's exactly what I'm trying to play for. I want to keep this to a one. Yes, I want to keep this to a one possession game. I want to do what I do best, and that's run the ball, control the clock, manage the scoreboard as best we can, and keep the ball out of their hands.
Mm-hmm, definitely. That's what they want to do. It's just, I think the Patriots are really going to be keen up. Again, hey, we got to limit Foster. I mean, if we keep Foster under 50 yards for this game, yeah, we pretty much got it.
Well, if you keep him under 50, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen two games in a row.
Yeah,
no, but that's the goal. Like, you want to try and limit this guy.
Right.
Like, he's the one guy they're going to try and take away.
Yeah. Right. I don't know that it's going to happen.
I know they're going to try to take him away, but Arian Foster's pretty good. He's pretty good. I mean, he may not be, you know, Adrian Peterson good, but he's pretty good. You know, I think he's the best running back in the AFC.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I like him better than Rice. He's great at catching the ball, too. And you saw that with Indy last week. He did have some big screens, or at least one that I recall. So, you know, that's something that they might try again against the Patriots.
Right.
Just get it. That's the way they can get them in space when they're stuffed in the box.
Right, absolutely. Okay, Sean?
All right. Well, thanks. Enjoy the game. Have a great week.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate the phone call. Looks like we found Bill in Connecticut who was disconnected earlier. I did not disconnect you, Bill.
No, I think it was my fault.
Okay. Had you finished your point?
I think I did. Just one more point to add. And this is probably the biggest of them all. I don't think Shaw can score 30 points against our defense. I think we can easily score 30 points against theirs.
I don't know about that either. I'm not willing to go that far just yet. I don't know that it's going to be easy, but I do think, though, that Houston is going to have some difficulty based on what we've seen over the last few weeks, unless the Patriots are giving them a short field to work with. Again, getting back to my original point, what should the Patriots fear? Patriots should fear themselves giving the ball up, because if they give Houston a short field with which to work, Houston can score 30. They can.
I'll give you that, being that there were some ball security issues, even in the first game that did bounce our way. And then with Ridley a couple games back in the San Francisco game. So, but I think they've moved on for that. I think they had extra time to go over and correct some of those things. So, you know, they used to say back in the days when Bill Belichick was Mr. Defensive Genius, if you give him extra days to prepare, he'll beat anybody.
Well, that's true, and he has had a pretty good track record of doing that. But again, as Eric just pointed out a short while ago, the track record is mixed. For the most part, you know, in repeat games. So I think it's not so much that Bill Belichick can't, you know, come up with a game plan or can't adjust. You have to also understand the other team's got a chance to adjust too.
Right. Well, again, and then another strong point that I wanted to make is our defense is so much improved. I mean, just from even the first half of the season is improved. And I heard Eric's point about the in-game adjustments going back to the Super Bowl. What I meant was this year. I've seen a lot of in-game adjustments this year, and it seems like the players are responding to what he wants to do this year on the sideline and shutting teams down or stopping them this year.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. It does. I will give you that. It does seem like, you know, they've had some, you know, at least a fair amount of success with what looks like in-game adjustments. I don't think it was that way early in the year, and I think largely it's because you're waiting for a defense to sort of find itself. I mean, remember early in the year we were all over this defense for being, oh my goodness, it was awful, and I don't see any improvement over a year ago in the defense that finished next to last in the league and yards allowed, and oh, what are we doing here? We can't evaluate talent. We got to go out and get this and that. And then, you know, and there are a few people there are a few people here that were preaching patience on this defense.
And I was one of those. I realized that they were young, and, you know, they had so many moving parts on that defense with Chung being hurt. And then once we got to leave, you moved Devin over into the safety spot. So, I mean, and that seems to have worked better. And then, you know, just with all the ins and outs and the people getting banged up back there. So I was one of those patience type of people, because if you notice, this is the same thing every year. We're just, what's the word I'm looking for? Serviceable.
Yeah.
Now, that's all the defense secondary is serviceable. We've never been great. Now I think that we're a little bit more than serviceable. We're not shut down, but we're better than serviceable.
Okay. All right, I'll buy that. Better than serviceable? Yep. That's a ringing endorsement.
I still think serviceable is
and
about
listen,
right.
Last year we did to the Super Bowl with a serviceable defense. I mean, a secondary.
They were less than serviceable last year.
I never gave our secondary a shot with Eli, but we were in that game.
Yeah.
I never gave our secondary a shot.
Yeah.
But I was just happy to be there with that defense. What were we running, 31st?
Yes.
Out of
next
32?
Yes.
You know, come on. Who wins the Super Bowl with a 31st ranked defense?
Well, the Patriots almost did.
Right. We were still in the game. So that's why I like our chances this year with this defense in a hungrier time.
Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that is the case.
And I'm going to hang up. Plus, Peyton Manning is horrible, and you can look this up, in the cold weather. Outdoors in the cold weather.
Well, he's still going to be at home.
Yeah, but outdoors in the cold weather. He's horrible. I think he's got like 2 or 3 wins in temperatures under 40 degrees. And I think the temperature is going to be under 40 in Denver in late January.
All right, we'll be watching that one this weekend.
They're not going to be playing in late January.
No. Why?
Because the Ravens are going to win this weekend.
Ooh, I was just going to ask you, how do you feel about that game? You think the Ravens win it?
I do.
What makes you believe that?
I think the Broncos are overrated.
Well,
top to bottom.
I've thought that all year long. I've thought the Broncos were overrated.
Did I say Ravens?
Yeah. You thought the Broncos were overrated.
The Broncos are overrated.
Yeah, and I've thought the same thing. But I'm trying to save that for next week.
Sorry.
I mean, there's so many people. I've been listening to sports talk radio around here for 2 days where people are going, oh, let's talk about the Denver Broncos because we're going to walk all over the Houston Texans. And I'm like, oh, do we really have to do this? This is worse than Super Bowl bye week when you have nothing to talk about. We're going to talk about Denver and Peyton Manning for 2 weeks?
No.
No! I refuse. No, not going to do it.
You should refuse, John. I said, they're not going to win.
Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hello, Big Al.
John, you know what? I feel your pain, big fella.
How's that?
I feel your pain.
How's that?
All this, you know, advanced chatter about Denver. I mean, I think
killing me already.
Too.
Killing me.
But you know, we talked about it, John, before the Houston game. We talked about it after the Houston game, and. You know, forgive me, but I'm going to talk about it again.
All right.
That was Houston's third consecutive road game.
Right.
When we played them.
Right.
And again, I can't quote you all the stats, and I imagine Kevin maybe can do the Google thing like all those goofy kids do these days. and probably can probably come up with the stat. But I believe the stats are astronomical against the road team when it's their third straight road game.
Yeah.
So I just don't think you can really learn a lot. Now, as far as my biggest concern related to that is I'm not really so worried that the Houston offense is going to all of a sudden blow up and score 50 points. But I think the Houston defense under Wade Phillips is going to be a lot better the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see this being one of these high-scoring games or –
I don't either.
That we're going to score as many. This is going to be one of these gut check nail biters, you know, kind of like we've had in the playoffs from time to time. And, you know, we're going to have to be at our best to beat them.
I think we're looking at about.
That defense is going to be a lot better.
I think we're looking at about a 24-21 type of score somewhere in that ball yard.
If that. Yeah. I agree. And that might be, I might be taking the under on that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, it might be 17-14 or. You know, they might kick. If we hold them to field goals, we should be okay. The idea, I think, would be just to keep them out of the end zone, and hopefully we get in the end zone a couple of times.
Right.
But, you know, this is not going to be a repeat of that Monday night thing whatsoever. I don't know what Shaughnessy, if he's busted into the mushroom field or what. But you know, he's just
that's what he does. He just does this every so often. Yeah. It's like our good my good friend Jim Donaldson of the Providence Journal. He's a curmudgeon too, and every once in a while he just writes something just to you know, flick his nose at somebody.
It's controversy for controversy's sake.
Yes,
which I think most of us sports fans by now have learned to sort of let that go in one ear and out the other.
Well, I would say not everyone, because there's still a lot of stuff going on out there. So, I mean, I'll give you a case in point. I saw on Twitter earlier today, a friend of mine who still does overnights on weekends on ESPN Radio, Bob Valvano. Mm-hmm. And Bob Valvano does a weekly show in Louisville. And he went on a tremendous rant, which was well worded, well said. You can probably find it if you go to awfulannouncing.com. And it wasn't awful announcing in this instance, but if you go to that, you'll probably see it posted there. He went on about a 40-minute rant against ESPN and some of the people that we used to work with at the network together, mm-hmm. because of the way people like Kirk Herbstreit were making excuses for the way Florida got pounded in that Sugar Bowl game against Louisville. And it's like, you know, nobody in their right mind anymore can admit they were wrong.
I know.
What the hell is wrong with people here? And by the way, Herbstreit is one of the worst at it. He's absolutely, it just boggles the mind.
I know.
Here's the problem though, Al.
Okay.
The problem is that ESPN, somewhat subliminally, they have a vested interest in the SEC success and a vested interest in the ACC success, and they have a vested interest in a lot of these programs and the mindset of the public for these teams and these schools to do well, because it reflects on their ratings and reflects on their business model.
Exactly.
So when they don't play well, must have been a fluke, or must have not been up for the game. Well, how can they be up for the game? How can they, and this is a great point Bob make, how can they not be up for the game? I'm speaking of Florida. How can they not be up for the game when the very network that is promoting this says that this is the most meaningful of all the bowl games outside of the BCS championship game? That's how they were promoting the game. So you're telling me then they're still not ready for that? That's it's asinine.
So that's
part of the mindset here.
Right.
You know, people are trying to put forward their agenda, and all they're trying to do is drive opinion makers. And so it's up to the public to not be gullible and fall for that. You let your eyes do the talking for you, and your eyes should tell you whether or not Houston has a chance to win this game on Sunday.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, and unfortunately, the followings, especially of a lot of the college teams, and I think it could be bleeding over into the NFL with this, with Shaughnessy or whatever. But the college, you know, a lot of times you're telling the choir what the choir wants to hear, and then they buy into it, and then they are just equally shocked when the team that's supposed to win gets beat, and then they want to fire the coach, and all this, you know, it all starts with the hype machine. And you know, like I told you a couple of years ago, Georgia opened the season against Boise State and got beat over in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have heard the reaction. Like, this just isn't supposed to happen, you know, to one of our teams losing to this piddly little school, you know. And I'm sure it was the same way with Louisville and Florida. But, you know, you also got to be smart enough to recognize when you're being punked, I guess. As the kids say. So, you know, they obviously, the ESPN has a vested interest in a lot of these leagues, and
they do
make them into world beaters. And, you know, it just, you know, until we get to a playoff, when we finally decide, you know, who's really good, you know, and who's the champion at the end of it, because they don't really know in these bowl games. There's 120 teams in college football, and you can't see everybody play.
Yep.
There's no way Kirk Herbstreit knows how good Louisville is.
I know.
He doesn't know.
Well, it's because there's a perception out there that Big East football can't be any good.
Well, sure.
And I happen to cover it night in and night out this year, and I'm here to tell you, I saw that Louisville team play three times before the Sugar Bowl, called three of their games this year.
You've seen them.
And they've got talent just like anybody else
but
does.
But did they ask you for your opinion? No. We had to have Kirk Herbstreit out there telling you that
Louisville's because he's paid a lot more money than I am to do what he does. So, well, John, so his listen, his opinion must mean more.
You when you get that gig following Gil Santos, you see all that's going to change. So let me allow myself to join the bandwagon, you know, for John Rook to replace. Although you know what, it's sort of like a lot of these coaches too, John. You know, it's tough to be the guy that replaces the guy. You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
I know it is. You know? I've had experience doing that in my career, so I think I know how to handle it.
Okay. Well, good. Good. Well, good luck then, and
Thanks.
Hope you do get it.
I appreciate that, Al. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And again, I'm not really worried about this week. I think we're going to win. I think it's going to be close, though.
Yeah, I agree
and,
with you.
And like I told you guys, and anybody that's shoveling dirt on Houston based upon that game, which was the third straight road game, and I'll cut it off now. But if somebody can dig up that stat, I'd love to know what that stat is as far as when we're playing our third straight road game. What's our record? You know. And I'll bet you it's below 33%.
Probably.
I mean, I'll bet you it's way down there.
We'll have to go do some digging.
You know what I mean? Just a thought.
Okay.
Have a great one. Happy New Year, John.
Al, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. All right, before we let you go, what was the practice report today we tried to get to 30 minutes ago?
That's okay. All right. Justin Francis.
Yep.
The only guy who wasn't out
there.
Out
today?
Yeah. Unsure why, because he's been practicing, hasn't...
He's also played a significant role lately. So
yeah, and a little bit more concerning, too, that it's coming off of a long weekend, a bye week, where, you know... Now, the only thing I'll say is, last week, because it was a bye week for this team, there was no injury report. So it's possible he could have gotten injured in practice on, when was it? Thursday last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know about it because... there's no official reporting.
Right.
So that's a possibility. And I don't think we'll get a report today because the game is on Sunday and you only have to file three reports. So I think tomorrow is our first report. So we are going to have to
wait until tomorrow.
Have to wait until tomorrow, most likely, to find out what happened with Justin Francis.
Okay.
But
everybody else was there?
Everybody else was there, yeah. Brandon Spikes continues to ride a stationary bike at practice, which he's been doing for over a month now, it seems, at the start. So just something to point out. And then Aaron Hernandez was getting, right after stretching, looked like he was getting some sort of treatment to his ankle, whether that was a retape or something. He had taken his right cleat off, and the training staff was around him doing something. So, and right about that time that we noticed that, we were...
Asked to leave,
yeah.
Time to go, fellas.
Time to go.
Getting a little bit too sensitive information in here. Oh,
yeah.
Can't watch Aaron Hernandez get his ankle taped.
So that was practice today outside.
All right. And the weather, by the way, is improving. I'm still hearing mid-50s.
50, yeah, is what I'm hearing for Sunday.
50 degrees. Yeah. It would be unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable.
Unseasonable.
Unseasonable for this time of the year,
yeah.
Right? So, all right, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that.
Okay.
Do take care.
I'll try.
All right? Knock this thing out of the park, will you?
I hope so.
Are you back in here tomorrow then?
Yeah, I'll be... <Excuse me>. That's my plan anyway.
As long as he doesn't, just keel over and die right here.
Should we make him give his word or should we let him off the hook?
Oh, yeah. Did you bring anything for us today?
I can give you one, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages,
the word
it's
is
time to pull up your britches,
hack.
Put on your Argyle sweaters, puff
Close.
On your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I like that.
Coughing,
that's good.
Sound effect. I wish I were in front of a nice warm fire.
I know, that would be good.
Ideal, right?
I had one going last night. I had a nice
fireplace.
I had a fireplace going. Fireplace was in the girlfriend's house last night.
Of course, the Rook Mansion has a fireplace.
Yeah.
Come on,
but nice fire going last night. Cup of tea, watching the game was excellent. I won't say what was in
the game,
though.
Wasn't excellent.
No, I was all ready for a great game last night. And stupid Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think they'd win. I just wanted them to keep it close.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame. Exactly. All right, what's our word?
Nostrum.
Nostrum. Nostrum.
Correct.
Nostrum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have you heard it before?
I have heard it, but remind me of what it means.
It's a remedy.
Have something to do with my nostril?
No.
It's kind of plugged up here.
No. It is a remedy of either unproven or questionable efficacy. whose ingredients are often a secret.
Nostrum.
So basically a quack remedy.
A quack remedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I chose that because of how I'm feeling.
Because you're feeling?
Yeah.
All right, so you're looking for a nostrum?
I might have taken a nostrum.
You might have taken one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not working.
It's not working. All right. Well, go find another nostrum. We'll see you here tomorrow.
Okay.
There he goes again.
I'm laughing and coughing at the same time.
Exactly. All right, hour number two inside the playbook. Once again, our original question of the day today is, what should the Patriots fear about Sunday's matchup with the Houston Texans? Is there a part of the football team, the Texans team, they should fear? Is there part of themselves they should fear? Is it the fear of the unknown? What should the Patriots fear about Sunday and the rematch with Houston? Webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. John.Rook, Facebook, at JR Broadcaster, Twitter. Ready, set, go.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay. along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Yes, it is, of course, Nitpick Tuesday. I didn't even mention the word, I don't think, nitpick in the first hour of the program because we didn't have a game this last week, having the bye week off, which this team obviously labored to get to this season.
We also didn't have a moment because of all the calls, which has been awesome.
Well, it's been great. Coming. Yeah, keep the calls coming. But if you do have nitpicks today about the week off, about the wild card games you watched, about the Patriots right now in preparation for the Houston Texans, about anything we've talked about, this is the day. It is Nitpick Tuesday. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com. John.Rook on Facebook and at JR Broadcaster, the Twitter address. This one comes from Facebook. Raymond says, John, you're talking about what the Patriots should fear this Sunday. In my opinion, turnovers. I.e. Ridley's turnover in the red zone. Cautiously optimistic is the word I would use to talk about the overall feeling for this Sunday. And this is from Ray in Stratford, Connecticut. Do you agree or disagree with Ray? What should the Patriots fear this Sunday? Do they fear themselves? Do they fear overconfidence? Do they fear Arian Foster? Do they fear the Houston Texans at large? Let's see. Mary Beth says, Patriots should fear nothing. Prepare for everything. See, that's pretty good. I buy that. Fear nothing. Prepare for everything. That's probably a good way to put it. Steve says, John, Patriots should fear laying an egg. I believe the game is the Pats to lose, and we've seen far too often they do have a tendency of beating themselves. Laying an egg. That would sort of long lines of you know, kind of like be like, you know, fearing yourself. What do you think? Here's Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, welcome in the playbook. How are you today?
I'm well, John. Afternoon. First, a couple of quick asides. I think the coordination of Rook to King for the Patriot Voice of the Patriots should happen immediately. And I'll lobby who I need to for that.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Not at all, sir. As far as the nitpick, it's kind of been touched on of the lack of respect, if you will, for the Ravens going into Denver and the Manning-Brady rematch happening again as a given. I'm like, man, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So those are my two things there.
Okay.
Also for Eric, what you're looking for, sir, is hot toddy.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? I actually had suggested to him. I said, oh, it sounds to me like you need a good stiff belt of whiskey. you know? Something like that just to kind of clear up the gunk or whatever it is he's got in there. It seems to be going around here quite a bit, too, and that's a little concerning because thus far I've been able to dodge it, knock on wood. I've been able to dodge it. Kevin just got over a nasty bout himself about a week
or
so ago.
Yeah, I hope I don't get it again.
Oh, you know? So, yeah, I don't want to run into that. I'm trying to keep my distance from those who are walking carriers this week.
And finally, as far as fear, John, I think it's a matter of just execution, the things that we've talked about in several minutes earlier in the season. execute. Just do your job.
Right.
And, you know, the concerns with Ridley and ball handling and things of that nature, yeah, it's a concern, but in my mind, it's not as huge as it could be. Turnovers will always be an issue, but I think the Patriots have the firepower to overcome those mistakes and adjust. I mean, the San Francisco game was proof of that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You know, I hope, once again, though, here's the problem that I'm having, Steve, and I think most Patriots fans, if they have any doubts at all, this has got to be the problem they have as well. It's so easy because this team makes it sometimes look so effortless when they go out there on the field, and this team does have a lot of talent. There's no question about it, that sometimes it's very easy to overlook that the other team also has a fair share amount of talent. And so you're always thinking that you're going to out-talent the other guy, and it's hard to realize that, you know, the NFL is a league that's been built, and you could certainly say that its popularity over the last decade has been built on parity. And I'm not talking P-A-R-O-D-Y here. So because of that, it's really easy to think one thing and have something else completely different happen. And it gets back to the old adage, you've got to, you know, take care of your own business, and you got to make sure that you outwork the other guy. And even then, you still might not win the game. Why? Simply because you got to take care of the ball. It's all about breaks. It's all about evening out opportunities. It's all about field position. I mean, you could play a completely error-free game, Steve, completely error-free, still lose it because your field position's lousy all game. You're having to drive 75, 80 yards away, and the other team's having to drive 55 or 60 yards away. I mean, there's really small things that get magnified in the playoffs because there's so much pressure on teams. They lose, they're done. It's golf season. It's over. So that's why everything gets much more magnified in the postseason. And, you know, yeah, should they have learned a lesson from some of their past failures this year? They absolutely should. But then I think some of that's automatically wiped away because you have a tendency to wipe the slate clean. It's a new season anyway. When you start in the playoffs, everybody's 0-0. You know, the one thing that you have going against you, in my opinion here, and this kind of flies in the face of working hard, you know, for that bye, the fact is that Houston's already 1-0 in the postseason. Patriots are 0-0. And I do think that Houston can use that to their advantage. I don't know if they will, but I think a team that has played already can.
And John, you know, having played in big games and lost big, you know, we all understand the simple fact that losing sucks, but to have the opportunity to come back and play to the level that you know you could have played the first time and didn't,
yeah,
I think that's a huge factor, too, that shouldn't be overlooked. Now, do I think Houston's going to do it? We'll see. I believe it will be a much closer game than it was, but I don't see them fucking away with the win at the end of the day. And that's not saying that they don't have the talent to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I just think with the weapons we have back, having people, you know, given the time with the bye to recover from the Knicks and actually have that extra time to game plan, I think it's actually gonna work out well for us.
Well, I hope that that's the case. I'm sure Patriots fans feel the same way as you, that it will work out well. I think, you know, I don't think anybody's upset with the fact that it is Houston in here this week, but I would tell you that, you know, before anybody gets too overconfident, I think they need to realize that playoffs are a completely different animal. I don't know that Houston is the team equipped to take advantage of it. They seem like they're built that way. Fairly stout defense, good run game. These are all the ingredients you seem to need to have in order to be successful in the postseason. But this day and age in the NFL is different from what it was 10 or 20 years ago.
I'm hoping that the Patriots tear up the Texans like the brisket that should be there for y'all today.
Oh, Kevin, we have to take a look in the mailroom. We're going to have to keep an eye out in the mailroom.
Yeah, it usually gets delivered to my desk, so I'll go check up after the shows.
All right, well, we'll check in with you later this week then, Steve, and let you know.
All right, good enough. There's 35 pounds, so
oh, my God.
I just a little bit.
We're going to have a barbecue.
get some tater salad and some beans and slaw. And have
yeah, tater salad, absolutely. Can I get me? I got to get me one of those big old rusty cans of jalapenos.
Okay. We can talk about that, John, depending on how things go.
See, I'm one of those idiots that used to like to get into jalapeno eating contests when I was younger.
Not a problem at all, John. You got to have the spice and flavor.
Oh, you got to listen. Got to have some spice to the life. That's exactly right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the time, man. And we look forward to the impending arrival. Thank you so much, Carl in Montreal. Carl, you're in the playbook.
Hey, Hey, what's up, man?
How are you?
Great, great. Big Patriots fan. Haven't missed a game in since the perfect season. You know what? I don't see Houston winning this game. I'm not worried. I'm not saying we're going to roll over them like it's going to be a blowout right from the start, but I just think I've watched the last 5 weeks of Matt Schaub.
Yep.
Not impressed at all.
Well, I can understand why you would say that, and I'm sure even Texans fans are probably saying something along those lines because, as I said earlier, he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. And I think, you know, honestly, I think in order to really be a championship team, you got to have somebody that it can at least develop into great if he's already good.
Yeah, I mean, and they got, you know, J.J. Watt. I mean, that game, the game third quarter, there was like seven plays in a row where I think he hit Brady or he got pressure. Guy's a machine. He's phenomenal. Love watching him play. And they have I think Barwin's another guy who can bring some heat. But, I mean, Patriots are just going to go through that team. Now, the thing that the couple, you know, not many things bother me. The last game, though, against the Dolphins, mm-hmm. Branch had like 60 snaps and Lloyd had 30 or 21. I don't remember. Is this going to be a trend? I mean, how does Deion Branch get on the field? I know he's a better blocker than Brandon Lloyd, but, I mean, how does he get on the field more than Brandon Lloyd by 2-1?
Well, I would tell you, first of all, that had to be in the game plan, all right, because the Patriots are sticklers to the game plan. So they probably had him on the field for snaps simply because of the blocking aspect of it, number one. Number two, keep in mind now that Tom Brady has had a longer term relationship with Deion Branch, you know, dating back to when Deion was, you know, MVP of, you know, the Super Bowl in 04. So I'm saying that I don't think you should read anything into it. I think that literally these guys do game plans week to week. Some weeks you're kind of in it and other weeks you're kind of not in it. And it really depends on what the coaching staff feels like is the best chance to beat the opponent that week. Doesn't mean you won't be a part, but some weeks you're going to be more a part of it than you are other weeks. And that's the only real excuse or the only real explanation I can give you for the number of snaps. I think the opportunities were there for Branch. And I think the offense felt at the time like he was the better of the option on the field when he was on the field.
Yeah, he had a couple of big catches in that game.
He did. And he's running different routes. I mean, you got to keep in mind, Lloyd is more of an outside guy, sideline guy, whereas Branch is one of those, you know, receivers that isn't afraid to go over the middle. And that's exactly what they use these guys for.
Yeah, well, rather than Lloyd, we need him because, I mean, he's the guy that stretches the field. And, you know, he caught that big play action pass. I mean, don't expect that play again. He was wide open in the you know, to make it 14-0 against Houston.
Yeah.
When Brady rolled to his right and it was a play action. But I mean, yeah, we need Brandon Lloyd on the field because he can make the big plays. He's the one guy that has that sideline pattern with Brady. They seem to throw it every game a couple of times. And you know, he's had some big games now. One play I'd like to see out of the playbook is stop, don't throw the ball to Stephen Ridley. That makes me nervous. You know, I'm not sure about his hands out of the backfield. You know, they're going to say that Brady's pass was underthrown against Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're going to be throwing the ball to anybody out of the backfield, please let it be Danny Woodhead.
I was just going to say, how about Danny Woodhead?
Danny Woodhead, I mean, I trust this guy with my life. Danny Woodhead, the only guy who runs full steam all the time, never hesitates. You know, the guy is amazing. Since he's been a Patriot, he's only fumbled a couple times. I know he's a free agent at the end of the year. Gotta love this guy. He's like almost like Wes Welker Jr. Guys, I love those guys.
Well, kind of hard to have a Wes Welker Jr.
Well,
think
mean,
of in terms of smaller,
like
but no, I understand your thought there. I mean, he plays similarly, keeps himself low to the ground, which makes him tough to tackle.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Aaron Hernandez, I mean, guy's been with the team for 3 years, and, you know, he seems like one of those guys will never play a full season. And, you know, guys are made differently. Wes Welker takes so many hits, and it's amazing that this guy, aside from that horrible knee injury, never missed a game.
Yeah.
And he didn't even miss a game that year because it was in Week 17.
Right.
But I'm looking for the Patriots to roll, bring on Denver, Baltimore. Yeah, they can come in with all their post-game rah-rah-rah, talking smack on the field forever and whatever their other crap is. Manning's going to pick them apart, and it's going to be Denver, New England next Sunday.
You think so? In Denver? Do you like the Patriots on the road if they have to go that far?
You know what? The last three times, twice last year and this year, we played Denver, we've manhandled that defense.
Yeah.
Their D-line doesn't get much push against our O-line, and I think we can take Denver. We're going to have to play a perfect game, no turnovers. You know, hopefully we can get one You know, whoever wins the turnover battle, New England, Denver, I think will win that game.
That's the way it works out, I think, Carl, in every playoff game you go to. Teams who win the turnover battle are, you know, probably 80 to 90% of the time are going to win the game.
Well, just because when you're dealing with Manning, I mean, this guy, you know, you can only stop him so many times. He's gonna get his points. The guy's incredible.
All right, well, we'll revisit then that topic next week. How's that?
I'll give you a call in a week. Take care.
Sounds like a plan. Carl in Montreal. Time for you on the Ace Ticket Online as well at 508-298-0398, if you like. Some emails. Let's check some emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Al says, I'm a longtime Pats fan that now lives in Austin, Texas. Local sports radio here is saying that the Texans need to hand the ball off often to Arian Foster. I think you were right in saying it's not in their mentality to come out throwing. I personally think the Texans do need to throw on the Pats D. It's the weakest part of the Pats. Should be a good game. Well, good to have you, Al. Appreciate that. Since I went to school in Austin, Texas, then it's good to have you. Isn't that right, strippers? I did go to school in Austin, Texas. Yeah, need to hand the ball off to Arian Foster. Well, that's rocket science, isn't it? Jeez. Makes me think good things about my home state now. I mean, of course you got to hand the ball off to Arian Foster, but I think that's exactly what the Patriots are planning on happening. I mean, you know, they kind of held him in check the first time out. I mean, all you got to do is look at the scoreboard and see how that worked out last time. So how's that going to work out this time? How's that going to change things? You know, if Gary Kubiak does not figure out a way to try to take advantage of the weakest part of the Patriots' defense, the Achilles heel, and Pats fans, you know what it is. I know what it is. We all know what it is. It's the secondary. Always has been. It's been that way all year long. We've seen it come and go. We've seen it improve and get worse. And I think right now it's probably about as healthy and probably about as strong as it's been all year. Not, largely because of the acquisition of Aqib Talib. But if Kubiak doesn't figure out a way to attack the Patriots defense by going over the top or by, you know, pelting them or riddling them, you know, over the middle, then, frankly, he shouldn't be the coach of the Texans. Because remember, arrogance can get you in trouble. It got the Patriots in trouble, and it cost them a Super Bowl in 07. Houston fans need to look at it like this. You have a chance here. This is an opportunity that does not come along often. You saw what happened the one way you played it 5 weeks ago. You really want to go down that road again? Try something different. Cause the Patriots to guess. Now, the Patriots have been pretty good, as we've had earlier callers say today. They've been pretty good at adjusting, but force the Patriots to have to adjust. Not you adjusting to the Patriots. Force the Patriots to adjust to you. Here's a novel idea. Use the pass to set up the run. Don't you think now that if all of a sudden the Texans are stretching the field on the Patriots, don't you think that that just leaves, you know, huge open holes for a guy like Foster up the middle of the defense? Patriots can't afford to play eight in the box or anything like that anymore. Can't afford to have the extra guy set to, you know, to play against the run. Can't afford it because you're getting beat over the top. I'd limit, you know, the Patriots' substitution patterns. I mean, the Patriots' defense cries to have a no-huddle offense, a tempo offense go against it. If I'm really trying to move the ball on New England, I'd go tempo, 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 tempo. Not necessarily hurry up, but tempo. By that, I mean I'm calling the play at the line of scrimmage. I'm going no huddle, but I'm controlling the clock because of the Patriots' ability to do the same to you with their offense. So I'm going to run that tempo offense. I'm going to watch the play clock. I'm going to call the play of the line of scrimmage. I am going to go over the top, but I'm going to dink and dunk a little bit. I'm going to try to keep the ball moving. I'm going to try to set up third and short, and then I'm just going to keep moving the sticks, moving the sticks, moving the sticks. That's how I would do it. And if the Texans don't try something similar, then, hey, guess what? Shame on them. Sucks to be them, and we'll go play either Denver or Baltimore next week. And they would have had their chance, and they'll go, oh, woe is us. What are we doing wrong? And I'm telling you what you're doing wrong right now. I'm going to tell you exactly. You're too arrogant. You're too arrogant. And you have no business being arrogant. No business being arrogant. Haven't won anything. flying high at 11-1. You come in here, you get smacked down. Why did you get smacked down? You didn't play a good game. And because you were too predictable. How about changing things up a little bit? If you're going to come back with, hey, this is what's worked with us all season long, that's fine. But don't cry about it when you go home with your tail between your legs. Josh in Arlington, Virginia says, how about the Patriots blowing out the Broncos last year in December and then blowing them out again in the playoffs? Stop the nonsense. Texans are not the 2010 Jets. They had a brilliant game plan and better players in the secondary to execute it. I guess I can understand that. I think I can see that, that the Jets were probably better equipped. But, Josh, you know, even you have to realize, okay, that complacency is a really, really, really scary thing to learn to handle. And most of the times you can't handle it. And so you're going to say one thing and possibly do another, but you certainly don't want to do exactly what it is, you know, say what it is that you're going to do. You don't want to do that. So even if you really believe deep down that you're a better team than the Texans, you're not going to say it. Whatever happened to, you know, riding the high and fighting the good fight and rising above the nonsense. I don't think you don't think you want this Patriots team, you know, down the locker room saying, okay, we're going to trash these guys. Because then there is something to that. Once again, Josh, I mentioned earlier in this program today, Patriots ran their way to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years with that chip on the shoulder attitude, us against the world. I don't think you want to supply anybody with any more ammo than they really need or they already have. And there is something to emotion going into one and done type of games. And this is a one and done game. That's what the playoffs are. The Broncos were not as good a team last year. I think we all realize that. The Texans, I would argue, potentially, could be better than the 2010 Jets, Josh. From top to bottom, based on the personnel, I just don't know that the Texans are smart enough to take advantage of the weapons that they have. I don't know. I think they also may be still too arrogant to take advantage of what they have. So you're right, they're not the 2010 Jets. Frankly, I think they're better. Steven. Oh, this is Steven Killeen. I know the Patriots spanked the Texans in the first outing, but once again, the media bandwagon is already foaming at the mouth at the possibility of Brady versus Manning. One game at a time, please. While there is no doubt that matchup always proves to be a great game, I'd much rather have the Ravens at home. Okay. I think so. I would agree with that. Here's Josh from Charlottesville, Virginia. He says, what's up, gentlemen? There are 2 things that the Patriots should fear coming into this Sunday, and they are, 1, themselves. 2, the pass rush. I know the Pats have been saying all week that the last game they played against this team has nothing to do with this one, but I still fear that some players won't take that to heart. Bingo. Younger guys on this team won't. Most of the veterans, and I believe the number I saw was 23 players on this roster were part of the team 2 years ago that lost to the Jets in the playoffs after killing them 45-3 in the regular season. I think it's 20, 23, right in there. I don't think any one of those guys is going to say that can't happen again. I think every one of those guys is going to work hard to make sure that it does not happen again. And they'll probably speak up about it in the locker room, if they haven't already. And if Bill Belichick hasn't already. Josh says they need to come out and execute because unlike the last time, the Texans know what to expect. They'll be fired up. No one likes getting humiliated. Other than that, the pass rush didn't do much as they had anticipated last time. So look for Watt and company to step things up quite a bit, as most teams believe that making Tom uncomfortable is the key to beating the Patriots. That is absolutely correct. So you know they're going to come after you. Yeah, whatever they got to do, but they're going to try to make Brady uncomfortable. Look for the Brady Bunch to work the running game, utilize the quick pass to alleviate some of that pressure, like they did in the first game. If the Pats can keep a level head and go out there and execute, they'll be fine. I just hope that no key players like Gronk get hurt at such a key time of year, like what happened last year during the AFC Championship game against the Ravens when Ed Reed rolled him up. All in all, this should make for a fantastic game. Yes, look for Houston to throw our boys a few curveballs. Okay, thank you, Josh. Good stuff. one X factor here that we haven't really alluded to that probably bears talking about here is the fact that the Patriots do have Rob Gronkowski this time when they did not have him 5 weeks ago. And so that's another X factor for the Texans defense to be aware of. So they may come at you. They may even try to, you know, bring the blitz on Tom Brady. That's fine. But you got Wes Welker, you got Rob Gronkowski, and got Aaron Hernandez ready and waiting. There's a lot of weapons. There's a lot of weapons. If I'm Houston, I don't know that defensively, I don't know that I would try to blitz. I think maybe you have to try to play the Patriots as teams that have beaten the Patriots in the past do it, and that's by putting pressure with your front four. And then let your back guys cover. And then hopefully have the Patriots shoot themselves in the foot once or twice. I think that's basically what you have to bank on. Rachel says, anything that has happened earlier in the season, Patriots should fear anything that has happened earlier in the season. Slow starts, turnovers, missed tackles, blown assignments, poor play from the offensive line, forced fumbles, they don't recover, etc. This game is more about preparation, a good game plan, but more importantly, what the Pats do or don't do well Sunday, and maybe some lucky things bouncing the Texans' way, similar to the Woodhead fumble that turns into a touchdown. Houston is talented enough to make it a game, but if the Pats are on top of their game, I still see them winning by 14-16. I don't know if it's going to be that much, Rachel, but okay, I like your enthusiasm. In general, the Pats are good at containing the larger backs like a Foster or McFadden. They tend to struggle a bit more with the smaller back, quicker backs like Rice and Spiller. Well, Spiller isn't a little guy. He's a big dude. Even then, generally, when they face teams without a committee of backs, they generally do well. I see the Pats D coming out fast and flying around, similar to how healthy and rested they looked last year at home against Denver after the bye. Fans should fear a loss because it's always possible outside of a loss, a costly injury. Well, if a costly injury happens and you lose, then at least you have the offseason to try to heal up, don't you? All right. Josh breaks down all of the breakdown of the regular season postseason rematch results since 2001. Eric Scalavino did this briefly in the opening hour, so if you joined us late, I'm just going to run through this. Rematch, a team that they beat in the regular season and they beat in the postseason since 01, they've got five of those. A rematch of the team they lost to in the regular season but beat in the postseason, they've got two. A win in the regular season, a loss in the postseason, there's two. And then a loss in both, they've got three. Divisional three-game series were 1-1 involving the Jets in terms of the playoffs, Patriots' playoff success. Okay, I think I follow along there. And then he spells it all out, what has gone on over the course of the year. So they've got a fair amount of success, but they've also got a fair amount of failure. It's a mixed bag. What does that tell you? They need to fear themselves. We're getting back to my original point. When we started the whole program, you got to fear yourself in this particular instance. You got to take care of the ball. You got to control the things that you can control. Turnovers. Effort. You can do that. You should be in pretty good shape. All right, you want to squeeze in a timeout, Kev? We'll squeeze in one. We've still got more emails. We've got more Facebook posts to get to. And the phone lines, Ace Ticket Online, 508-298-0398. What should the Patriots fear about Sunday's divisional playoff with Houston? Right here in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat,
Adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
And Sunday's AFC divisional game between the Houston Texans and New England Patriots will be presented by Pepsi. Patriots fans can download the Pepsi Patriots Anthem at www.pepsianthems.com. We've done that before, haven't we? I think we actually did that. And is that the Bon Jovi song?
It's the I think it's the Aerosmith one.
The Aerosmith one. That's
see
it. That's the
dig,
one.
I'll see if I can dig it up and close the show with it.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Aerosmith song. Right. Brooklyn Matt says, "Hey John, know what the Pats have to fear? Well, how's about Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the Mummy? The Tin Can Texans sure don't scare anyone anymore. Here's an idea. Have Matt Schaub wear a Wolfman mask, and maybe the Patriots pass rush guys will be too scared to go near him, thus creating a lot of passing time in the pocket. Oh, and have Arian Foster have Dracula fangs in his mouth. That way the Pats guys will be as scared to tackle him." Ha, ha, ha. He says, "You're fun to type wacky football emails to, John." Gee, thanks, Brooklyn Matt. And you're fun to read wacky football emails from. I think he done a pretty good job, fairly representative job of having tongue firmly in cheek on that one. But that's good stuff. Our friend Russell S. Baxter, at Bax Football Guru, is his Twitter handle. Just sent this tweet out about 4 minutes ago with the hashtag Patriots. 12-4-12, which means, of course, 12 wins by 237 points, 4 losses by 11 points. All losses by 7 points or less. Hashtag Texans, hashtag NFL. All right, so that's what he has. Again, he kind of throws facts out there left and right. It's what he tweets out all the time. That's why we call him the guru. But 12 wins by 237 points, 4 losses by 11 total points. All losses by 7 or less. If the Texans are going to do it, probably be a close one. By the way, anybody else here, Brent Musburger, if you stayed with the game last night, the national championship game, the BCS title game, if you stayed with it beyond it being over at halftime, basically, when Alabama was up 28-0, did you hear Musburger go on and on about the Miss Alabama girlfriend of A.J. McCarron? Holy crap!
Oh, hot. Want to touch the hiney?
Well, that may very well be, but let me explain something here. ESPN today has apologized for good old Brent going over the top. And what they said was he went too far in his comments about Catherine Webb. That's the young lady's name. And she was there in the stand sitting with A.J. McCarron's mom. And obviously McCarron had, you know, the game of the lifetime last night. And now the kid has pitched his team to 2.
His mom's hot in her own right.
You know, hey, listen, not for nothing, but
it was weird. Twitter exploded, and I'm sitting there on Twitter the whole game. So this girl went from like a couple hundred followers, Catherine Webb, like almost six figures,
yes.
I think.
No. I read it last night. She went from 3,000 followers to more than 80,000 followers during the course of that game because of Brent Musburger, largely because of Brent.
So that was picked up by Darren Revelle and a few other business people. And then you started seeing pictures tweeted of McCarron's mother in her younger days. And I got to tell you,
she's a looker.
Pretty cute. And then that led somehow to pictures of Nick Saban's daughter, who was an absolute smoke show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where is she locked up? Where is she for this game? Because the cameras were trying to find her. So it was.
Well, it's because
it was
TV was in the business of trying to create entertainment for people because the game sucked.
Sucked, yeah. It was pretty funny. And then I started. Actually, Dante Stallworth, a Patriots wide receiver, tweeted, you know, he tweeted the word "already?" question mark. And I was like, "What do you mean?" And then he corrected it. And it was someone had created a Twitter handle at Creepy Musburger and was tweeting, which was just phenomenal.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why ESPN had to come out and apologize to that. Because, Brent's old enough to be my grandfather, and he's talking about a 20-year-old woman.
But it was just great, though. Like, the theater that unfolded on Twitter with all these women and pictures flying around and then at Creepy Musburger. It was more entertaining than the game, unfortunately.
Well, she's a nice – Catherine Webb is a very nice-looking lady. But beautiful. I would tell you that she finished well behind – in the Miss USA pageant, behind Miss Olivia Culpo from Rhode Island, who won not only Miss USA, but Miss Universe. Thank you very much. End of story. Do you know where she lives, or her home, where she grew up in Cranston, just down the street from where I live, Kev? Down the street.
She's
Cranston.
I think I saw her. I was at the, it's funny, it was weird. They even announced that that was the night that I was at the Symphony before Christmas. Remember that night? I was telling you I was going to the Pops. And at the end, Keith Lockhart announced that she had won because I think one of her relatives was playing in the symphony.
Is that right?
So, yeah.
Well, that's
so
kind of cool.
I figured out she won.
That's kind of cool. All right. Well, I don't want to disparage, you know, Catherine Webb, because she's obviously a gorgeous young lady, and she's got a great thing going, and she has a pretty good boyfriend for a football player, or a football player for a boyfriend, or however you want to put it. And now she's got a hell of a lot of Twitter handlers now, people that are on her Twitter account because of creepy Brent last night, which I actually, every time he said that, I'm like, Brent, are you, I kept thinking, I'm watching the game. My girlfriend is on the couch. She's snoozing through it, right? She's already done. It's 20 and nothing. She's like, why are you watching this now? And I'm like, well, because it's the national title, and I might have to talk about it, and so I wanted to watch it. I'm a huge college football junkie anyway. So when Brent said that and we were watching it, she looks at me, and I look at her, and she goes, oh, I don't think he should be saying that. That's the first thing that comes out of her mouth. I don't think you should be saying that. I said, oh, this is great. Maybe now, if you'll keep talking about it, we'll keep seeing this train wreck revisit itself. And sure enough, it did last night, in case you didn't pay attention to the game, you know, in what we called glorified garbage time, called the second half.
Yeah, by far the best thing that that he said was, what was it? It was something along the lines of, you know, if you're a young guy in Alabama,
yeah,
you know, you better learn how to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
And they showed a picture of her, and he's like, you better go out with old Pa and start throwing the football
start
around.
Start throwing the ball around.
Yeah, that was the
so
best
line.
So you can
be a quarterback, and you can get the good-looking girl.
Yeah, that was the best line by far.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's a good one. I just remember thinking last night, I'm thinking, I don't think he should be saying this. Poor Brent. You know, it's not what people do. It's what they, I mean, it's what they, well, it's actually things that they shouldn't say that people get noted for when they're on their way out. And I don't mean to say that Brent's going to get fired or anything like that. Brent Musburger has been an outstanding announcer for a number of years. I'd love to have, you know, a tenth of the career of Brent Musburger, trust me. But you just have to be, you just got to be cognizant of the fact that when you say something that you think is clever or you think is cute or what have you, somebody's going to take it the wrong way. And we in the media, those of us in the media and those of us who are broadcasters for a living, you always have to be aware of that. And that goes with Twitter and Facebook and everything else. Just got to be careful with what you're doing out there, kids. That's primarily the main thing here. All right, Tim sends me this on Facebook. He says, Pat should fear sick people in the locker room who don't have the sense to stay home. And here's a word of the week for you, Eric. NyQuil. I like it. He says, Houston's engine is Foster. Stop him, limit turnovers, and it's heavily in the Pat's favor. Cut and dried. Cut and tried. Okay. Like it. Let's see what else we got here. I think I got a couple of others that I wanted to share with you if we get them loaded up here. David says, John, please, everybody thinks the Texans are going to come in here and keep up with the Pats after their performance at home against the Bengals with home field advantage? Well, I'm going to tell you, David, that quite frankly, every game, every week is a different game in a different situation. Granted, they did not play well against Cincinnati last week. They only scored 19 points. Cincinnati does have, statistically, had the top defense in the NFL. Let's keep that in mind now. So, again, put aside your bias, which certainly has to be slanted to the Patriots. You've got to put it aside, see what it is on the field. The Texans are going to go on the road, but they are going to play statistically a worse defense than the one they played last week. So you do have to consider that. They're going to play a much better offense than the one they played last week, too. So how do these two things balance out? This is why you play the game. That's all I'm saying. It's why you play the game. If the Texans turn the ball over, they got no shot. If the Patriots turn the ball over, well, then now we really have a game. That's really what it's going to boil down to. You fear, the Patriots should fear themselves and any sort of complacency or any kind of turnovers that are a result of said complacency. To me, that's the biggest issue at hand for Sunday's game here at Gillette. Biggest issue. By far and away. Okay, let's see. I think I got a couple of others here. Let me give me 2 seconds to call them up here. Aha! Here we go. This one from Jason. Based on the last few years, they were playing their best football going into the playoffs. This year, we have had several turnovers and not playing our best. However, Brady has not played his best. In my opinion, Brady has already played his bad football for the season and will play outstanding this year in the playoffs. Okay, Jason, thank you. Let's see what else we have. Is that... God, I can't even... Facebook is messing up on me here. All right, there we go. Interesting piece here that actually just got put up on the ESPN Boston site not too long ago by Mike Reese. Eric Scalavino told us earlier in the program, the one player missing a practice today was Justin Francis. And he brought up an interesting point how defensive end is the team's deepest spot, but seems to all of a sudden be the one place on the team right now following the bye week that still has some, not a lot, but some concern to it. Reason being, Rob Ninkovich limited at practice after suffering his hip injury a couple weeks ago. And then, of course, Jermaine Cunningham, as we realize, he's still trying to kind of, you know, gently pull his way back into the lineup after his, you know, late season suspension. And then when you had Justin Francis not being a practice into the mix of things, okay, now you're kind of scratching your head like, okay, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Well, Mike points out that while this is the perhaps the deepest position on the roster, the Patriots have used an end as an interior rusher in sub-packages throughout the year. That's kind of the niche that Jermaine Cunningham has used. And Francis obviously had a huge game a couple of weeks ago as well. Jake Beckett, when he's been active, he's been used in that role. It's not as an every down guy. It's been in sub packages and they've rotated a lot. Now keep in mind, Dwayne Brown, who we talked about here 5 weeks ago in the game, in the week leading up to the game, Dwayne Brown at left tackle. I called him. I thought at the time that he may be the best tackle in pro football. And I still think he's got to be one of the best players at his position in the league. Mike concurs. And he says, having Chandler Jones back at 100%, which he was not back on December the 10th, is a good development for the Patriots. And that is a key matchup. Jones probably against Brown in that particular realm, and I'm sure we'll jump into that a little bit more later this week. And then, of course, there is a question as to whether or not Rob Ninkovich is going to be able to give the Patriots anywhere close to 100% because of the hip injury. If he doesn't go, it'll probably be Cunningham. But we don't know how the coaching staff is going to treat Cunningham because of the suspension. He missed, what, weeks 13 through 16, I think, with that suspension. He did play, and he wrote here, he played in 16 snaps in the season finale. Francis in 34, 23 for Trevor Scott. So Scott is the X factor in all this. Scott's actually come in and played pretty well. And again, you're talking about a position that largely has three deep on either side of the line, three at left end, three at right end. That's a lot of depth, more depth than you usually get in your normal, you know, 52-man roster or whatever the Patriots have right now. That's a heck of a lot more depth than anybody has. College football teams with 80 scholarship players don't have three deep at some positions. So it's not yet a sore point, but it could be. And I guess we have to wait and see when the first injury report comes out tomorrow, where guys like Ninkovich and maybe Justin Francis, if missing practice today is anything to be alarmed about, where they will come down. And Chandler Jones on one side, Cunningham on the other, probably backed up by Trevor Scott if something is wrong with Justin Francis. But interesting points that are brought out there by Mike as we, you know, start to, you know, dissect and analyze what the Patriots have going on in this particular instance. Steve says, this just in, John Rook has been chosen by ESPN to replace creepy Brent Musburger. No, thank you. I wouldn't mind having the job, but no, thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. Don't want to replace anybody being a creep, that's for sure. You know, that's just not the way to go about doing things in this day and age. Try to make friends with everybody as best as you can, whether you like them or not. It's called playing politics. All right. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to spend some time trying to, you know, delve a little bit further into the Houston Texans. I know Kevin's working on trying to get us some Texans folks to see where they – I want to see where it is in their point of view. Knowing that you come in here, you go on a road trip, you're riding high, 11-1, and yes, as we pointed out several times already, it was the third game of three straight games on the road, and that is a tough thing for anybody to overcome, much less in the NFL. So is their attitude changed? Has their attitude changed? Do they feel like this is a fresh start? Do they feel like maybe the Patriots are actually going to see a true Houston Texan team? How much influence did December the 10th game have on Houston, and did it cause them? Did that game put them in a tailspin late in the year that took them from being the potential top seed in the entire AFC to missing out on the bye altogether, which is what happened to them? I think that'll be interesting to see. So I want to try to get into some of the things from the Houston point of view tomorrow. And see if we can't do that, and hoping still that if we have Houston Texans fans that have been listening, and if you're listening to this on the podcast as well later on, feel free to join us from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time live here on the Playbook, because I'd like to hear from you. Or send us some notes. You can hit me up on the website, the Facebook website, john.rook. Send me a tweet, at jrbroadcaster, or send an email, webradio@patriots.com. And then we'll hold on to those before the show airs tomorrow afternoon. And your thoughts on your team in the rematch and whether or not this team has a legitimate opportunity or, you know, do they have more to fear? Which kind of brings us back to our central point today. And what do the Patriots fear? What should the Patriots fear about Sunday's matchup? I am reminded, of course, by the great Franklin Delano Roosevelt fireside chat that the Patriots only have fear itself to fear. I'm sort of paraphrasing there, but really, that's all they have. They really only have themselves to fear. As long as complacency doesn't set in, which, of course, could lead to turnovers, you can't do anything about a team forcing turnovers, but you can pay extra special attention to taking care of the football and not being, shall we say, flip with it. Then the Patriots should be in good shape. The ducks are lined up here. The bottom line is, Pats fans, the ducks are lined up here for the Patriots to have success. They control that success. I think even the Texans would have to admit that if the Patriots are playing their A game, there's not going to be a heck of a lot that the Texans can do about it. If you put the Patriots' A game up against the Texans' A game, who are you taking? Who's anybody going to take in their right mind here? If you try to look at it from a purely football point of view, put your bias aside. Look at the talent on the rosters. Look at the matchups. I think you can probably figure it out for yourself. All right, Bill and Todd with Football Nation is coming up next here on Patriots.com Radio. Same Pats time, same Pats channel, manana, kids. 2 p.m. Eastern time, Pats and Texans getting ready.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.